Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for Twit's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. And thanks for your continued support.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/android. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 200-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And by LegalZoom. Take control of your family's future and get the legal help that you need. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout for special savings. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 302, recorded on Tuesday, January 24th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Reunited and it feels so good.
And I got a new case.
Oh, you do? Okay, so show off your case. What's the case with the case? Where'd you get that case?
This is some Casemate.
Okay.
I've been looking for a case like this for years for any Android phone. And
for our audio listeners,
yes, please
describe it in words,
please.
All right. So it's a clear case and,
glitter.
It's one of those like it's like the snow globe. Yeah. It's like the snow globe, but there's glitter inside of it.
Let's see the product shot.
So Florence, I just want to know, what are you going to do when you graduate eighth grade?
I'm gonna upgrade to a Lisa Frank case.
She's gonna know that she's awesome because she has this case,
yeah,
Ron.
Look how amazing this is. Jeez. I could do this for hours.
Beatmaster in chat says that's actually crushed unicorn dust.
Probably, which is why there's a little hole on the inside that I can let out the liquid if I want to.
I'm curious why you'd want to obscure the really blue pixel with glitter, or does it just
actually
enhance the blue?
It looks super cool in person.
Not obscuring. It's enhancing.
Yeah, it looks super cool with the blue on the background. It looks actually almost purple.
Yeah,
I would say.
Cool.
Hey, we have a guest in studio returning to the show. It's been far too long. Ish Harshawat, Haystack.tv. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely.
It's been a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Yeah. Haystack has evolved. Android TV has kind of evolved.
No, this is tempting.
We'll talk about that.
We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Obviously, you guys are doing great work with Haystack, both on Android and on iOS, I should mention. We'll talk a little bit about that. But Android TV, man, I keep waiting. And there's been little bits and dribbles here and there.
CES had some really hard some stuff. To proliferate. Yeah. Like, let's do this and what?
Yeah. So
We'll have a nice conversation about that.
Absolutely.
It's been a slower ramp up than people were expecting, but
maybe that doesn't matter, because I mean, being that you're on your app is on Android, it hits all the different Android platforms, not just Android TV, so you benefit no matter what. We have much news to discuss. This was one of those episodes where I sat down, I hardly had to try. The dock was full by snapping my fingers, because there's been so much news in the past 7 days.
No, what has been going on?
This is filling the karma for the quiet weeks that we have to deal with.
We've come out the other side of the tunnel at this point. Yeah. Obviously, like we said, we're going to discuss the current state of Android TV. Android Instant Apps, finally, kind of a thing that's happening. Android One possibly coming to the U.S. A huge Google Voice update and so much more. Before we get into the news...
Should I get an egg from the fridge and put it on my face for this? Or?
Brian, we're going to need a little bit of breaking news.
Sing Newgood in the meadow, sings a song of satisfaction too.
I didn't warn you, Ron, to get an egg from the refrigerator. Do you happen to have one?
I could have put some egg on my face as the breaking news is that Google I/O 2017 will be returning to the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View on May 17th through the 19th. And in my defense, I would like to point out that when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the imminent return of Google I/O to San Francisco, I had pointed out that it was all due to the Moscone Center being available, and the Moscone Center is indeed booked on May 17th through the 19th for the Informatica conference. So clearly they were going to go back to Moscone. They didn't want a date in June. They wanted it in May, so they had to go back to the Shoreline.
Clearly. That's exactly what happened.
Wear your sunscreen, folks, because it's probably going to be 90 degrees again that week. I wonder who the musical guest is going to be. That's what I...
Jane's Addiction again? I don't know.
They're not going to do it again.
I know.
Yeah. Well, last year they had Kygo, and that guy actually ended up kind of taking off in the
And Charlie... dance world. Charlie...
XCX.
XCX. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you at I.O. this last year?
No. We didn't get it. I think we tried to get in, but I think we got in... like, we didn't get a ticket in time.
Yeah. I got sunburned.
Yeah. Well, but I've seen a lot of great concerts at Shoreline, so I've seen some pretty cool rock shows there.
Yeah.
So
it's a cool place for a rock show. It's... okay for an outdoor event. I don't know if it's very great for a developer conference, but the outdoor event aspect of I/O is really great there. But the developer conference side of it is a little bit more challenging.
let it be fun.
Yeah.
Well, Flo, this is a great opportunity for you to wear your spectacles all day.
Yeah.
That is true.
I notice you're not wearing them today, though.
You guys, the spectacles are not the most user-friendly thing. Let me just say.
That didn't take
Shocking.
Long.
So, shocking.
Yeah. Oh. They're in my bag, just in case.
Cool. You
should just in case. Oh, I wish I had my spectacles.
I need my spectacles for this 10-second
thing.
They're
in my bag. I paid money for them. I got to figure something out.
Yeah.
Can you get them on eBay still for $200 more than they should cost?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, your resale value, if you decide you don't need them anymore, you could sell them for exactly what you
bought
them for.
No, because they scratch up so easily.
Oh. Okay.
I'm just not even. It's okay. It's okay.
Whatever.
I took this one for the team.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we appreciate it. All right. Hey, let's do it. Brian, it's time for the news.
Put down those spectacles before they get scratched. But you don't have to worry about that. With Android news.
What I want to know is if Brian had an Android news bit prepared and he's like, no, I'm going to go with the spectacles or if you just, okay.
So I was going to go with the pre-show stuff that we had done, but I figured, keep it in the show. Let people know what we're talking about.
Yes, because if you want to see the pre-show, you have to come watch the pre-show.
Bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be something like children approved or for all ages kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Android news.
Gotcha. Brian, you're quick on your feet. You know who's also quick on his feet is Hugo Barra. A little coming and going news.
Oh, nice segue.
I love a good segue. Hugo Barra is, you might remember him as the former VP of product management for Android at Google, but currently he's been the international VP at Xiaomi. He announced that he's leaving Xiaomi to move back to the San Francisco Bay Area. He says he felt removed from friends and family, misses being home in the Bay, and is excited to embark on a new adventure. And this is coming off the heels of Lai Jun admitted earlier this month that Xiaomi moved too fast to sell inexpensive phones while alienating high-end consumers. But this is all even after they've had explosive growth in sales. But there's lots of competition now in the China market and the Far East market from Huawei, Oppo, and others. And you've got to assume that Hugo Barra is coming back to the Bay Area to take a position somewhere. And it will just be we'll be waited with bated breath, I think, where he's going to go.
Facebook.
Do we take bets? You say Facebook.
Facebook. Where else would you go work in this world?
I say he starts his own company.
He's poised to do that.
I feel like we're past that, though. I feel like this is not the start anew. I was reading the horoscopes last night. This is not a good year to start new ventures.
Well, do we think that he's going to try to make himself essential, perhaps?
Maybe he just misses his family.
Well, no, enjoying his old pal, Andy Rubin.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh.
That's a good point, yeah.
You see, I was doing a play on words. And
I appreciated your play on words. Yeah.
I'm glad you got it, Jason.
That's a good point.
Because I was thinking the same thing.
The Andy Rubin connection.
I think that's actually a really, really big connection.
I'm trying really hard not to think of that news bit as a big deal, which you're both going to look at me. All of you are going to look at me like, what is your problem, Flo?
Ooh. Which news bit?
I don't know. I'm trying hard not to think it's a big deal because I'm.
But
just...
which what is not a big deal? Him leaving or
Andy
or
Rubin
Central?
And the phone thing?
Oh, you don't think? Yeah, it's a big deal.
Huh?
You don't think it's a big deal?
I don't want to.
Why?
Because I'm so oversaturated with phones.
Oh.
That's why. That's why. Because I'm personally like just
like the last thing we need is another OEM coming in to kind of command
so
the.
Spotlight. I'm organically skeptic because of that. I'm like, oh God. Okay.
But it's not just another OEM. It's Andy Rubin OEM.
No.
Yeah. Don't you think that being oversaturated is an opportunity for it's prime for innovation and someone to break out from the pack?
Madonna tried to do her comeback and it didn't work, so I don't know. I'm just saying, like,
I think personally,
she's doing all right.
I think it's a good thing. It's good for someone to be outside of Google that was part of the Google ecosystem to try to. Sometimes it's faster to do things outside of a big company
for
than
sure.
Inside,
it's
so.
True because you don't have to go through. You don't have all that tape.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe he ends up getting reacquired by Google, making it better, making Android better because of it. That's probably what's going to happen, let's be honest. That's what happens with these things.
Yeah, Google could come back around and be like,
I'm just overwhelmed by all the different companies to pay attention to.
Yeah. Are we worried about our pals at Xiaomi? Are we worried that they're losing Hugo and that they're...
I'm not worried about them overseas. They're going to be perfectly fine in China. They're just, I don't think that we're going to see them coming over here with Hugo leaving.
I think that's
a big signal.
Because Hugo
was their only American connection. He knows them, he knew the market. But they couldn't come over here for a variety of reasons.
And still couldn't in almost 4 years with Hugo being there. And that was like one of the main reasons that everybody kind of assumed.
So he probably
mentioned being there.
Got a phone call. A Skype call. He got a Skype call.
No, he got a Hangouts call. No, he got a Duo call.
No, he got a Skype call. They still use Skype.
And to that point about Xiaomi, as well as other Chinese manufacturers, you really got to wonder how they're feeling about their ability to move into the U.S., especially given yesterday's news. You know what I mean? Like, with all the changes that are happening here, it's got to be even harder.
Yeah, for sure. So. For sure. Flo, you are up next.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of a bummer because we haven't really been able to test these out, but Google announced on its Android Developers blog that the first wave of Android Instant Apps is now in live testing. So, if you want to go live test it, try out BuzzFeed, Wish, Periscope, and Viki, which are the first that you can demo right now. So, right now, we're kind of Google's working on getting developers interested. They need to update their apps and modularize them in order to actually take advantage of this functionality. I, for one, am just incredibly excited for this to come because I am so sick of running out of room on this thing. And who wants to have the Yelp app installed? I'm just so sick of having apps installed that I don't need. So for developers to comply for Instant Apps, they need to remove any unnecessary bulk from the app. They have to have a support URL based on navigation.
Support URL based navigation.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. I can't read English. That happens. And then this happens on the show where I'm talking like this to try and save face.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, they have to refactor
the app.
There's
a whole bunch of things.
Yes, a bunch of stuff. Android 6.0 run. Anyway, you can go read it at the developer blog. You don't need me to recite it.
I think a lot of these are really, really interesting because this is not only giving Google an opportunity to bring new functionality, but it's also an opportunity for them to specify the way a lot of critical aspects of app architecture are for developers if they want to comply. You know, so I mean, URL-based navigation is if you've developed your app not supporting that, that's a big change. And you know, implementing the Android 6.0 runtime permissions, implementing smart lock for passwords. I mean, these are all ways to get compliance with things that they're really passionate about. So it's kind of like a Trojan horse for Google with the developer community.
Why aren't you de-bloating your apps? Let's make instant apps.
Yeah. Hey, you want to get on the instant app train? You got to do all these things and I don't know, bring your app up. What do you think?
We've been talking a lot about this internally. So, I mean, I think on the plus side for developers, you have to ask yourself if we're going to go through and make sure we retrofit our apps to deal with instant apps. What's the benefit to the developer, right?
Right.
You have to have a benefit. So the clear benefit in my mind is you are you have better user acquisition conversion, right? If someone goes to your web page and they say, let me go to the Google Play listing, now they can actually maybe even try out the app before they, you know, without having to like read a bunch of text or, mm-hmm. or something like that. So that, I could see that being a huge
boon. Or download it and have to deal with the ads before they pay for it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or the onboarding.
So,
or whatever.
Yeah, so there's I think that there's an obvious benefit from the conversion perspective. I think it could also unlock interesting use cases in terms of, you know, optimizing for viral sharing, right? If you're sending somebody a text message with a link to the phone app, now they get to try it out. So again, it's about conversion into using your app. And I think the other kind of thing that is interesting is it unlocks a few new use cases or makes them easier. So I think you mentioned Flo,
Yelp.
Yeah. Also, like the parking meter thing is a
that's
really
a big
one.
That's a really
right?
big
so
one.
So like the ability to change discovery so it happens more contextually. So it's not just, you know, it can happen in the real world. It can happen, you know, while you're actually doing something and, hey, what's the right app and appropriate app for this type of thing that I'm doing right now? I think, so people have been talking about contextual-based discovery since, like, you know, Google Play launched and the App Store launched in iOS, but no one's really done anything around it well. And I think this is the first major attempt that I see that's actually pretty unique and interesting. And I think Google is definitely paving the way here, or like they're leading on this, because obviously Apple doesn't have anything like this. So it'll be really interesting.
I
to see
was
what
just thinking that in my mind. I was just thinking how iOS is very much like app first, because they put just the interface is app first, and I like the idea of a post app world.
That goes back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the app based versus the native web apps. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I want to go back to what you said, Flo, as you were talking about this news bit, is that you don't want to have the Yelp app on your phone, right? Like, I forgot exactly what you said. So why don't just never install a Yelp app and just go to the Yelp website?
Because
browser,
it's incredibly finicky. It's constantly asking me to download the app.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to read the freaking reviews. Yes.
Right.
Just want to read the reviews.
I'm thinking about where I'm going to go eat tonight. All I want to know is, do I go there?
I'm not a part of the Yelp community. Yeah. I don't want to be.
Right.
I care about what they say.
And if there's a way to get it, you know, in a way delivered to your phone with little friction, that actually makes sense for that particular screen size, let's say, or that.
Precisely.
You know, then great. You would want that over the other method.
Yeah.
One question I have for you, Ish, is the part where it says refactor app into smaller modules so they can download independently. How difficult is that?
It just depends from app to app. For us, it's probably medium effort, not like crazy amount. For some people, it might be a huge amount of effort. It depends on how they've architected their apps. I think the module size is like 4 megabyte or something like that, so it can download really quickly. The reason they want you to do that is so that they can download the app really quickly,
right?
So you don't have to sit there waiting for it. Otherwise, you might as well have just gone to a web page, right? It would be faster. So I would say for most developers, it would probably be medium amount of effort. It won't be like too crazy, but yeah, it's good practice to start refactoring sometimes anyway. It'll probably help with other things that you need to do, making sure you have a high quality product that doesn't have bugs, it's easier to debug, et cetera, et cetera. So refactoring can be a good thing.
Interesting.
Instant fart apps.
Can't wait. Instant flashlight apps.
Instant love tester.
You're striking gold right now. I can't wait for those apps.
Instant task killer apps.
These are all horrible ideas. Do something useful like instant Yelp. That sounds great. So I'm really happy you're here today, A, because of a perspective like that, because we're not developers. So I love when we get that kind of insight. But also you're here to kind of talk a little bit about Haystack, which has been your app for the last couple of years. You guys have been doing really good stuff. You were just recognized by Google with an editor's pick. So congratulations
that. Yes. That was huge for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, my question there is, so Google picks your app as an editor's pick. Mm-hmm. What kind of effect does that have on?
So really quick, what does the app do for those at home?
Let me give you a quick.
That's a great place to start.
Haystack TV actually lets you watch the news in a personalized way. So it's completely video news. You turn it on, set it up with your favorite, preferences, your favorite topics, your favorite categories, and then it creates a newscast that's personalized to your interest. So
neat.
We even have Twit on there, for instance, as one of our sources. You can you know, add that as a favorite source. You could add other tech news, or if you don't like certain types of, you know, news, you can even mute them.
Do you have Rachel Maddow?
We do have Rachel Maddow. So, you know, but you can mute her, or you can like her, favorite her, and you get more or less of her. So we try not to take sides, obviously, because we're trying to be
I'm curious, because I have my own YouTube playlist to catch up on, like, on like cable news, because I don't have cable.
I mean, Haystack is, I think, a much better solution, hopefully, than that, because it's one multi-platform, so it works across all your devices. It syncs your preferences. That, you know, you can sign in with your Google account, and then you can go to your Android TV, watch Haystack, favorite certain things, go back to your Android phone or tablet, and then it'll automatically sync it. Go to our website. You can watch it there. So it syncs all this stuff really well. We just added, this is a huge development, we just added local news now. So,
oh, that's great.
We have about 70 or more than 70 local areas now that we support local news. So you can get a little bit of local news in your newscast. You can get a little tech news. You can get a little bit of national political news. So it's like one-stop shop to watch all your video news.
Dare I say right now is the perfect time for a company and Surface that you're doing.
Oh,
I
mean,
from a political standpoint, there's a lot that people are tuning in for. From a cutting the cord standpoint, there's so many more people that are getting rid of their traditional subscriptions, their traditional cable or satellite, and moving online. This is a great way to kind of compile it all.
And no fake news. So.
Sorry, your question.
So you get picked for an editor's pick. I'm always curious how that moves the needle.
We just got it recently, so it's a little early to see. But I was actually looking at the numbers earlier today, since you asked, and we've definitely seen many more visits to our Google Play page, and as a result, more downloads. So it's definitely helps. I mean, there's not that many apps that get editor's choice from Google, and so it's a big honor. We've worked hard to make sure our app is always up to date with the latest, you know, whether it be material design when they introduced it in Lollipop, or the latest features that Android supports or Android TV supports. We try to make sure we're like always up to date, and that we're making our users happy. We respond really quickly to any bugs that are found, or when people say that they want something improved, we're like really on it. We're a small team, but we move fast in terms of trying to get new features out and to respond to feedback. So I think that's probably the reason that they have honored us with this editor's choice pick.
So about that Android TV.
Yeah. You guys want to talk about Android TV, huh?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I mean, are you...
I want to hear your guys' opinion, too, because I come from probably a completely different perspective.
I don't use it. It comes baked into TV, or you have to, or you have to have one of the older set-top boxes.
I wish Android TV had evolved. Like, we 5 years ago, whatever, they sold us on Google TV, and I was such a big believer in it. And then Android TV just kind of came out. We got a couple of devices, you know, like the Shield and things like that were doing it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, aside from the TV implementations and things like that, you don't really hear anything about it. And so, like, you as someone who's doing TV, you know, within an app kind of form, how do you feel about Google? You know, like, were you sold on Android TV by them, or?
I mean, no. First of all, let me say that actually Android TV is one of our best platforms.
Really?
Best performing platform. One of our best performing platforms. So I was coming from our perspective, we're a video app. Like, that's all we do. TV platforms like Android TV are key to our success. And it's one of our top performing platforms. And it's been growing, actually, since we were on the show. I was on the show 2 years ago, right when we had launched, right after Android TV had kind of come out. Yep. So this is a good time to kind of like look back and be like, what happened there? It's been growing steadily. I think it's been one of the best investments we've made as a company. I wouldn't recommend it. If you're especially a video app, I think it's a really
no-brainer.
You have to be there. Like,
right.
I think Google, you know, where maybe there needs to be improvement is the ecosystem has sort of not gotten bigger than it started. Like, the Sony kind of signed in for it as an OEM developer. And then there have been some really cool new boxes like the Shield, right, that have come in.
Yep.
Talking about Xiaomi has a really low cost, $69 Mi Box, nice, which is a really nice
4K
thing.
Box,
and we actually see a lot of people using that.
Really?
So, I mean, like, I would say that, but you know, we haven't entered a world where there's a standardized operating system yet for televisions.
Yeah.
And I think Android was trying to be that with Android TV, and it hasn't happened. But it, to be fair, it hasn't happened. Apple hasn't done that either. Chromecast, which is, one could argue, another confusing thing that Google has another kind of pseudo-competing platform in Chromecast, has not done it. So I think the problem is that there's just a lot of fragmentation, and people only upgrade their TVs every 5 to 7 years. Yeah. So like, we're used to the noise that mobile makes, which is like everybody's always, you know, upgrading their phones every 2 years. Oh my gosh, I got to get the latest Pixel or the next whatever. But, you know, when was the last time you upgraded your TV? I haven't upgraded my TV in a long time. So you're just not going to see the pace that you're used to with mobile. And that's just, I think, the nature of the beast a little bit with television.
And actually, so to that point, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I laugh and I think my parents had a TV literally for 20 years before we changed it out from like 87 to sometime in the 2000s, right? It was like an insane long period of time, and then bought another TV. But we're seeing that window get smaller. You know, like I bought my last TV like 5 years ago, and now I'm thinking about buying another one. You know, so I'm curious if TVs will catch up to that pace because there's so much changes in resolution and functionality and things like that, and prices come down. Like you can get a great 40-inch TV for like $200 now. It's crazy. Yeah. But you said that Android TV is one of your most, you know, kind of your best kind of platforms. But how does that compare in scale? Like, what is the percentage of Android TV users versus the other platforms?
I mean, we have a pretty good half and half split between TV platforms and mobile. So we see a lot on TV. And I think you have to realize we're a video app. So we're part of people's routine when it comes to, you know, like if you watch Netflix, a lot of our users, that you know, they'll watch Haystack for maybe 30 minutes and then they'll turn on Netflix. So we're part of that like routine. And
it's like people, they turn on Haystack to catch up with the news a little bit before they go into a movie.
So mileage may vary. If you're an app developer that builds something else, like maybe Android TV is not the right platform for you, or Apple TV for that matter, any of these TV platforms. But for us, it's like been key to our success. It's been a huge thing. You need, I mean, I'm interested in your opinion, Philly. So you don't use it at all. You turn it on and so you have cable, or what do you have?
I have a Roku and Chromecast.
And you use none of them, or?
No, I use both of them.
Oh, but you just don't like...
But you haven't replaced them with an Android TV,
or
when you've used Android TV, it wasn't compelling enough to kind of like replace the Roku and what you get through the Roku.
No, the Roku still works perfect. Oh, no, I have the Roku 3, from years ago. I still have that. And Chromecast in every room as well, just for those instances when I just want to use my phone. I don't want to have both remotes.
Yeah, that makes
sense. That's how I watch TV.
And so you're kind of used to the Roku, and so what we see is most people have one, maybe two devices in their living room that are streaming devices. It could be an Android TV, or it could be a Chromecast, it could be a Fire TV from Amazon.
And the Samsung are now smart TVs, so they come with all that stuff built in. And actually, that's what my parents use. They use the smart TV platform with the Fire HD stick for the Amazon content.
Yeah. So here's where I think it boils down to is as you can hear, like there's a ton of fragmentation.
Yeah, right?
Like there's streaming boxes. There's TVs that have their own functionality. I mean, there's just so many options.
Dongles and,
you know, compare that to the mobile world where you basically have like Android and iOS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, you know, those are your options. So I think we're still in that, like if you look at a technology curve, we're still at the maybe, you know, just starting to ramp up on the technology front with the TV stuff. I think it's starting to be accelerated because of cord cutting. I think more people are looking for options off of cable. And I think that hopefully will start to consolidate some of the stuff. And I actually hope Google is one of the big players, and I think it will be. The question really becomes is what's going on with Chromecast? What's going on with Android TV? Like, what's the strategy? I will tell you this. I think Android TV has been a lot more successful than their previous attempt, which was Google TV. So like from a relative, I feel like if you think of it as like chipping away at the problem, like I think this was definitely, they took out a bigger chunk of the rock with this one than they did with Google TV.
I remember when they were making Google TV set top boxes, and then like it died.
I loved it. I still have mine. I still there's one still in my sister's house. I got her. They use it as their Blu-ray player now because now I moved them over to an Amazon Fire Stick because it made more sense for them because they were all in on Amazon and all that sort of stuff. But I love that box, and I'm bummed that it didn't grow from there and kind of got fractured. But with Android TV, so.
I have a question for you. Do you think that Do you think it would make sense for Android TV to become the sort of like standalone app on the phone, the way that Android Auto kind of is?
And because, then it, you know, like, what I mean? Beams into
because that's what I use my phone now with the Chromecast, right? It's like my phone is the computer that I have on me all the time.
Yeah, I actually don't think so, because I think that's what Chromecast is trying to achieve. I think there's always going to be a component where you'll need that functionality where you can beam your show onto the TV. But I think that a lot of people appreciate the simplicity of just having a dedicated remote with a TV. You know, like one of the problems with Chromecast, it has lots of pluses and minuses. On the plus, it's like super easy to just kind of flip what you're doing on your phone to your TV. But like, what if your phone runs out of battery, right?
There's
like,
no remote.
Like you're what are you going to do? Like, you're just stuck. So, and it's not very elegant. Like, you're literally switching like your UI paradigm from app to app. Like, every app implements like how to do a little bit differently.
Right.
Whereas on your TV, you have one standard remote control and everything kind of functions based on a point and click paradigm. So I think that there, I personally was kind of in that 2 years ago. I was in the place where I was like, well, which one's going to win? Which paradigm? I think you need both, but I think that, I now appreciate the whole paradigm of having a dedicated television app, you know, that is there, sitting there waiting for you at home at 7 o'clock for you to turn on. And I think that will continue to grow, actually. And I'm not saying that Chromecast is not going to continue to grow too. It has been for us as well.
I
do feel like there's just something nice about having a dedicated system for it.
It's our relationship with TV, right? Yeah. The way that we built the relationship to have it be
right.
the central part of our living room. Yeah, so it has to be this separate entity, right?
Yeah. Do you feel like Google is giving Android TV enough attention when it comes to kind of developing it out, new features?
So I will say, I actually think Android TV, like, again, if you're spoiled in thinking of like what they dedicate to their mobile platform, it doesn't feel like they're making a lot of progress.
Right.
But if you compare
it's different.
If you compare it to other competitors in the marketplace, right, other TV platforms, they're doing a pretty good job. In fact, with Android 7, they've done picture-in-picture, which is, I think, the only platform that's going to have picture-in-picture that I know of. We're excited to support that. They have something called Live Channels, which no one else has. So Live Channels is something we integrated with on Android TV. So if you, for instance, have a Sony Bravia, you have your programming guide, right? That usually has your cable shows, et cetera, et cetera. You can actually get, as an app developer, you can actually get into that programming guide. You don't have to, you know, go to a different app to install. So it's actually integrated into your normal programming.
Really nice.
So they're doing things that are a little, that are innovative and different compared to other TV platforms. They're taking a much more deeper integration approach than other people are doing. And I think it's interesting. I don't necessarily agree with, they're not putting fire behind it. I think they are. Mm-hmm. I just think that the whole ecosystem is moving slower than mobile, and that's just the way it is.
Because nobody's pushing TVs. They're always 2-for-1 at Fry's, and we'll throw in something for you. So, I mean, and Best Buy, too. We'll throw something in. Just please take our TVs.
It's a really great perspective that you bring up, and it's just not something that I had really considered. We get so locked in with Android in the need for constant updates and what is the next big thing? When are you going to push out a new update that brings all of these core features? It turns out that not all implementation, not all platforms that Android touches need that same frequency of being updated. And when you're talking about a set-top box, maybe it doesn't need to be updated every 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, because what is the competition that isn't based on Android? What are they doing? You never update those, or you're lucky to get an update on those at all, which isn't to say that, okay, then you have a pass, don't ever update your product, but it's just not as essential. Like, get the core features in there, and then as things progress.
I mean, think about what you do when you watch TV. You select a show and you sit there for however long.
Yeah, I do, with a bucket of ice cream.
Like, I mean, the majority of your time interacting with the system is you're sitting on the couch. Maybe you're eating a TV dinner, if
ice cream.
You know, whatever,
ice cream.
A pint of something, exactly. Like, in a way, sometimes the UI just needs to get out of the way and let you watch your show, right? Or your newscast. So,
double chocolate from Strauss Creamery.
Yeah, and let you eat your ice cream. Actually, I'm more of a, what is it, Three Twins kind of guy.
Oh, Three Twins.
Oh, I love Three Twins.
I feel you
great.
On that one. Three Twins is pretty good.
Lemon cookie. Very good. Mm-hmm. Lemon cookie is really good.
Shout out to the Sonoma County ice cream.
Strangely, Tillamook has some really
good ice cream. It does. So creamy. Anyway.
Cool. Let's talk more about ice cream.
Ice cream's not fragmented.
Ice cream's like my favorite thing in the world.
TVs, they are.
All right, cool. Fantastic stuff. So for people to kind of follow more on what you guys are doing, Haystack.tv, obviously, yep. Play Store, iOS, on Android, or sorry, Apple TV. I'm
assuming. We're on Apple TV, obviously all the Android platforms. We're on Amazon Fire TV and Fire TV Stick if you want to get there. Chromecast integration on all our mobile apps. And we have a web version, too. You can just go to our website.
Nice. Yeah. Have Very it everywhere. Cool. That's the way to do it. Cool stuff. Of course... Isha's not going anywhere. He's sticking around. He's going to be here for the rest of the show to talk all about all the news, the hardware, the apps that we have to discuss. But before we do that, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you are thinking about getting a mortgage, you're thinking about buying a home and you need to get that mortgage, or even if you're thinking about refinancing a mortgage, if you ever really looked into it, the process isn't always the easiest thing in the world. If this is your first time, you have to pull all this information from a million different places. It's not always as digital as one would hope in this day and age. Well, I mean, Rocket Mortgage is really changing that. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, you want to work with someone that you can trust, who has your best interest in mind, who has your time in mind, and can make the process just a little bit easier for you. And with Rocket Mortgage, you're going to get that. You're going to get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. So you're not going to waste time searching through all those stacks of files and paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial information to get a mortgage approval in minutes. And you can kind of play around with it too. You can adjust the rate and the length of your loan in real time so that you can make sure to get the mortgage solution that's perfect for your scenario. So whether you're looking to buy a home or, like I said, refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan by checking out Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online at quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. All right, we got some hardware. It's true. It's very hard, this wear.
It's the hardest wear of them all.
Oh.
So last week we had a little bit of breaking news, and now we can expand on it a little more. But it's looking like Google is working to bring the Android One initiative to the United States.
Finally, it has happened to me.
Right. Well then, they're looking to bring devices in the $200 to $300 range, and LG has been rumored as a possible partner. And it's important to note, to give a little kind of background on the life of Android One. You know, the first generation of Android One is where Google managed updates. The second generation is where hardware partners manage the updates. And the big goal of Android One has been getting new people who've never used a smartphone before, especially in emerging markets. And the other goal of that has been higher quality hardware at a low price. When we talked about it briefly last week, I said I think this makes perfect sense because they're adapting Android One to fit our market, which is the Pixel is the high-end phone. They need a low-end phone. And some folks in the chat room, as well as some of our stuff, was that this is going to fill the void that's been left by Nexus. We only had a couple of minutes to talk about it last week, but what do you guys think of Android One coming to the U.S.? Sounds like Flo is excited.
Flo, why are you excited about Android One? Is this your next phone? Is this to replace the Pixel? Flo, go. Putting you on the spot.
I just think it's interesting that every time it's like Google's working on something to make its smartphones, probably LG or HTC is gonna make it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's what I thought of.
I'll be completely honest. I completely forgot that this was breaking news last week. I was like, oh yeah, put this in there.
I was trying to cover for you, Jason. It's okay. But we talked about it briefly. It was very, very brief. And to correct my word salad there, I meant, will this fill the void left by Nexus? Not will it fill
Nine.
The void yeah, by Nexus. Yeah. But so now the fact that we don't have Nexus, will it fill that void?
I mean, I think I it's still.
fills the price category for sure.
Yeah, no, I think a low end phone that is Google can sell next to the Pixel on the high end makes perfect sense.
I think the challenge there in replacing the Nexus though is that people who were really holdouts for Nexus and fans of Nexus were fans of the lower price, but they were also fans of a good feature set, good hardware for that lower price. $200 to $300 kind of sounds a little low for what Nexus fan, like what Nexus fans look for in a device. I mean, I'm sure they would love to pay $200 to $300, but is that a category that gives them the features that they really need? And would Android One in this capacity fill that that idea of being a reference device that Google kind of sold Nexus devices around? I'm not sure that it would in that regard. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm kind of down on this news. I just don't think that if I walk into a cell phone store, okay, a normal person walks into a cell phone store and I'm looking for a cheapy device, I just care about getting something cheap. I don't care if it's a Android, Google, it's branded with Google phone or anything like that. I want something that gets the job done. Or I'm someone that actually cares about what phone I have and then I'm willing to pay a little bit extra.
Right.
Right? And so then I'm going to do the research and I'll probably get a Google Pixel phone or I'll get the next Samsung variant that comes out. But I just think this weird middle ground of trying to reach a mass market through a low cost phone that Google approves of. I mean, as the news shows, it didn't work in India.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't get the strategy. I think I appreciate wanting to have lots of different levels, but because Android's by its very nature has so many different manufacturers, you already fill that gap, right? If you want a cheapy phone, you can get
Moto, G4.
Moto. If you want something that's a little bit better, get whatever HTC is offering, mm-hmm. right? But you don't need Google to just come in with another phone. I think that what they're doing with Pixel is awesome because they're pushing the boundaries. That's what they should be doing so mm-hmm. that they can lead the way for other manufacturers. But yeah, at the mid-range, let the manufacturers do what they do,
Right. I mean, one selling point could be the update aspect and, hey, for a low price, sure. we're still going to give you updates. But even that, in the original promise of Android One and the first generation of it, it was, yes, Google updates. And the second generation of it, it was, well, actually the hardware partner updates. So even that was kind of stepped away from in the promise of Android One. So I don't know what kind of Android One we would see in the U.S. as far as that is concerned. But that would be a big selling point for me anyways. The Samsung Note story never ends.
No, hopefully this is the last that we're ever going to hear about it because I'm doubtful.
I'm sure we will.
I'm done. So Samsung finally had its event to shed some light on why the Note 7 batteries were so explosive. Samsung says that it had three independent organizations evaluate the issue, and they discovered these two separate issues. Number one was that battery A, which was the battery in the first batch of phones, had deformities that resulted in damage due to mechanical stress, which is what resulted in the explosions. And then number two, battery B, so that's the second batch of batteries, which is the second batch of manufacturing, had welding defects that would short the battery, which led to the explosion. Samsung has promised that it will introduce a new 8-point inspection process. The Note branding will stay with us. And the S8 will not be announced next month at MWC.
Kind of delayed because of all this.
Very delayed. I have to say, personally, I'm glad to see that Samsung isn't going to announce a new phone anytime soon because I think we need a little bit of a break.
But they're not going to announce it at MWC, but it's slated for Q2, which is right around the corner.
But
so
it still gives us a little bit of a break because we're still coming hot off the heels of this.
Pun.
I wasn't even thinking that when I said it.
Before talking about Samsung and Mobile World Congress, going back to the battery, am I reading this correctly? Did they have the freak situation of one batch of batteries blew up and then they replaced it with a second batch made by somebody else that blew up for a completely different reason?
They did. Yes. The most unlucky company in the world.
Is it really luck or is it somebody is saying, hurry, 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 make this happen?
I mean, it's the result of really rushing through and not having a good quality con- control process. However, it's also very kind of striking that two separate approaches had two completely different issues that resulted in exploding batteries.
It's like the perfect storm.
Perfect storm.
I was going to say, and there was this enormous rain cloud over South Korea for like 3 months that just never went away. Because what are the odds of that? Like, I think that's crazy.
I have to say, I really liked my colleague's take. So Daniel Bader had written the article that we were showing in the crawl with the headline, Samsung's Note 7 apology was heavy on battery science, light on admitting its own failures. And I completely agree. There was a lot of jargon in the apology. It wasn't really an apology.
It was more an informational assignment.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
But how much more apologies could they make, though? I mean, what do you expect them to say? I mean, like, this happened. This was less – I think they've apologized and did the recalls. This was all like, here's what happened. We, you know, forensically analyzed it, and now they're trying to move on as much as we are.
I suppose. But also, let's not forget that the FAA, like, banned this phone from flying. It's just –
That's not their. I mean, well, yes, it's their fault. But I mean, but like the insane reaction and the oversimplification of the problem. Like, you know, a lot of. I mean, like, and I told the story last week. I think it was before you were on the show. But I was with people who I saw someone who's not a tech person at all, just an average person, dismiss the entire Samsung line of phones because the Note blew up. Like, assuming that they're all the same to some people. So, like, there was a little bit of hyperbole around what was happening with the phones. And I don't think that's Samsung's responsibility to apologize for, like, the cultural reaction, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, I think it's a branding problem for them, right?
Yeah, so I agree.
It's like they need to spend a lot of money in the next release of the Samsung Galaxy to, like, really take it to the next notch to get people to
with no bezels. Like, that's how they're gonna get out of this mess is bezel-less.
No. I think the
branding issue points out is a huge thing. When they say they're gonna bring back the Note, I think it's gonna do horribly when it comes back.
Yeah, they should definitely not give it that name. That's for sure. They should call it something else.
Yeah, rebranding.
I'm not sure because so many of the people who owned Notes, who were fans of Note, are very like diehard to that particular brand.
Regardless
of whether these batteries exploded or not, they loved the Note. Even if the batteries exploded, they still loved it and they still wanted to keep it. It's just that you can't because the batteries were exploding. So they might hold that against Samsung as a company, but the device was still very good.
Yes,
and
that's
so when
true.
Another Note 8 comes out, I'm pretty sure they're going to be on board. And then if that explodes, then there's really going to be hell to pay.
Yeah.
but who knows? I guess we'll see. ZTE. So we talked a little bit last week about ZTE's crowdsourced phone.
Did you?
This is the Hawkeye.
We talked a little bit about it.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Go on.
Did we talk too much about it?
I don't know. Did we?
Well,
I thought it was great.
Yeah, we did.
We talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, we chatted about it.
I'm throwing shade.
Okay, stop it. Jeez.
I'll let you get through.
You're making me second guess my life.
Jason, we talked about this like completely last week.
Yeah, we talked about exactly. We covered it. The ZTE Hawkeye, $199. Eye control, stick it to the wall. Lots of funny things to discuss, but all of it was crowd determined, right? The crowd was the reason for the stick it to the wall and control it with your eyes. Well, we are now a couple of weeks into the Kickstarter, and apparently it stalled at almost $37,000 out of a pledge total of $500,000. Wow. And I just find this story very interesting in the sense that what ZTE really wanted to do was get people fired up about the idea that finally you can have a phone where you determine the master specs that are in here. And mind you, ZTE didn't put great specs in to support this stuff.
No.
But the main big feature of control it with your eyes, stick it to the wall, which I still have to kind of laugh every time I think that's a feature.
So weird.
But I kind of get it, but whatever. Apparently that's not enough. Even when people pick vote and resoundingly choose a feature to be the reason why this phone exists, not enough people actually want that.
Eye tracking, though, it was on the GS3 and the GS4. I don't know.
The people have spoken, Flo.
But did they release any numbers as to who voted in the crowdsourcing of the features?
No, I didn't see any. No.
Because if you had 1,000 people vote for the eye scrolling and now there's 193 backers, then you've got a retention conversion problem.
Yeah. Right? That really seems to be kind of what you probably have here. So basically ZTE, Jeff E., who is the VP of Planning and Partnerships, says the phone's low mid-range specs were probably a poor decision.
That
a lot of these people who are voting on this probably wanted a more built-up phone, I suppose. He says they kept costs low for a better worldwide phone, but obviously that's not resonating. And they can't change the price because Kickstarter was already launched. So they have to keep the price. So they have to figure out, well, do we just increase the capabilities on the phone? Or do we let this Kickstarter collapse and redo it? It's just not this is not what you want when you start a crowdsource campaign around
exactly. But, you know, this could have saved them from, you know, manufacturing a phone that nobody wanted.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. I mean, in the long run, it was for the best, but yeah, it's kind of embarrassing.
I think they should just wait and see if the Kickstarter goes through, and if it doesn't, just let this just kind of go into the void.
Yeah. Crowdsourcing things doesn't always turn out very well for you. Bodie McBoatface it was funny, but Bodie McBoatface is.
I have a very checkered history with crowdsourcing, like just buying stuff on Kickstarter. I have a very, I feel like all the stuff I buy, I never use. Like, it never works exactly
it seemed
as
like an idea, a good it's idea.
Just, yeah. And so I basically just support Kickstarters that my friends are doing now, and that's kind of
same. I
thing.
Just support Kickstarters of people that follow on the internet, pretty much.
I'm like, okay, because it's more a support for them as opposed to a support.
I support
for the product.
People, not products. Clearly. Right.
Well, there you go. Maybe you should support ZTE. I know you're a big fan of the Axon 7, right?
Mini.
Oh, the Mini. Okay.
I'm that's my suggestion to people if they're looking for a phone that's cheap.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't stick to the wall.
No, it doesn't. What?
Sticks to the wall.
It reminds me of those Velcro suits.
Yes.
You know?
How do you get down, by the way? If you're in a Velcro suit,
somebody
you stick
has
the wall.
To take you down.
Yeah, you can't just like pull yourself off, right? You're stuck. Okay, that's I'm happy we went there. Let's take a break and thank sponsor of this episode of All About Android, and that is ZipRecruiter. For all of you looking for qualified candidates for your positions, whatever they happen to be, it's not an easy process, right? ZipRecruiter is all about making this just a little bit less painful, a little bit more painless to find the right person. Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates because they're everywhere. If you want to find the perfect hire, you're going to need to post your job on all of the top job sites. And now with ZipRecruiter, you can do just that. And it's really easy. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. So it's about as easy as it gets. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. You just post one time, and then you'll watch the candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You're not going to have to juggle emails or calls to your office. That stuff just slows you down anyways. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, hire the right person fast, because really at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, finding the right person and getting them in the door so you can get to work. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies as well as thousands of small and medium-sized businesses just like yours. Right now, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter, and you can do it for free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/twit. That's ZipRecruiter.com/twit to check it out for yourself and get some qualified candidates in the door fast. We thank ZipRecruiter for their support of All About Android. All right, we've got some pretty big bits of app news. So why don't we go there for a change? I am a Google Voice user, have been for many years. And
me too.
Then I looked
at... Samesies.
Yeah, all of us?
Yeah.
Ish? Yeah. I looked out the window and I saw pigs flying. And I said, whoa. 5 years later, they finally updated
Google Voice.
I can't
believe it, yeah.
This is Petaluma.
Yeah, there's pigs flying everywhere in Petaluma.
I'm sorry.
more like sheep and goats it's and true. Cows
no,
flying.
That's true. But sorry,
no goats.
Right.
No goats. No goats.
No. No. Mateo's nowhere to be seen. So let's not.
You say goat too many times. Mateo will just appear behind you, Jason.
With a cowboy hat and
be careful. Yeah. Yeah, that horrible American flag shirt. Oh, all right.
We love you, Mateo. So there was like a little tease, a little leak that happened a couple of weeks ago, where suddenly Google Voice users, some of them were seeing like try the new Google Voice. So we were clued in that it was going to happen. It's happening now. Android users are starting to see an update that redesigns the app top to bottom. Material design, of course, support for photo MMS.
Okay, wait. You say material design like it's no big deal, but do you realize that we're going from like 2009, 2010 interface?
Oh yeah, it's horrible.
To it's horrible. The present.
Yes.
This is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
Yeah. It's a huge deal.
I guess I just see material design as the obvious update.
Yes, the obvious update that should have happened 2 years ago.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy. I'm very happy that it's material design.
No, totes.
But
totes.
If they updated it and they didn't bring material design, yet again, there'd be hell to pay.
Yes, but I anyway, go on. Sorry. Okay.
Could you imagine that? Like if there was no, oh my God, I'm sorry. Anyway.
Like we brought a bunch of features, but it's still honeycomb.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that okay?
That would be the ultimate troll. That would be the ultimate troll.
Oh, that would totally would be.
And I'd have a lot of respect if Google did that. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know.
That'd be an amazing troll.
I'm happy they didn't. Support anyway. For photo MMS, yes. Group text messaging.
Oh, my God.
These are all features that they just like.
Look
really?
At this, guys. 2017. This we've got group text messaging and photo MMS. Do you remember when the iPhone got MMS and what a big deal that was?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Google Voice has it now.
And it was only a couple of years ago that Google Voice actually got any sort of MMS support whatsoever.
Right.
But even then, I think it depended on your carrier. And sometimes out of nowhere, I'd get an email in my inbox that was like from a phone number and it would be a picture. Like, I don't, you know, it's not like it synced the contact of mine, but it was, you know, but it was like my aunt or whatever. I'm like, how did this happen? Because of this weird, like, Google Voice.
How did you get this number, aunt?
And suddenly I get an email. Anyways, I love my aunt. She has my number. It's okay. Also support for direct reply from notifications. So on Nougat, in the pull down, you can direct reply from there. So good features. Does it help with Google's mess of a messaging thing?
How does this? Yeah. So one question I have is there's like Alto, right? So how does this?
Allo, yes.
Sorry.
No worries.
No, it's okay.
Nobody uses it. I use it.
I feel like that's my big question is how does this relate to that messaging
app at all? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, I think that leads to Jason to your final note on this story, which is that you can't spell messaging without
mess.
M-E-S-S.
Google puts the mess in messaging.
Yep. They do. It's sad. They do. I don't even want to... There it is. I don't even want to get started on the messaging thing because you know how heated I get over this and how we blew it as a industry, as everyone, they blew it. Everyone blew it. And it's
y'all blew it. You know who really got it right? AOL Instant Messenger.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where's just AOL kidding. Instant Messenger now?
Nowhere now. No. Yeah. I have not used it in years.
ICQ. ICQ is still around.
I know,
still
right?
Still kicking. Uh-oh. Still kicking. Yeah.
I love ICQ. Well, at least I have fond memories of ICQ.
You know what else I have fond memories of?
What?
Being young. If you want to be young, you could download B2, the Chinese app that many have used to post anime-style selfies, which you may have seen pop up in your Facebook timelines, in your Twitter timelines, and your Instagram timelines. But you know, those people, they didn't really know what they were getting into when they were downloading MeToo, because many took the app to task for the large number of permissions it asked for, including device model, resolution, Android OS version, Mac address, IMEI. That's like the key to your heart, right?
That's crazy.
And more. MeToo has existed for 8 years, and it's only just now, quote-unquote, penetrated the Western market like this. Who decided to put penetrated in this? Jeez. Jason.
Hey, I do a lot of research for this show. I'm sorry I got one word wrong.
This is an adult show. China has rules as of August 1st, 2016 that require developers to authenticate the identity of users, which is why it's asking you for all this darn information about your IMEI. This will tie online profiles to other identifiable information. So China knows you are trying to be young.
So this is, I mean, so I didn't, of course, I mean, I'm an old person, but yes, there it is. I was going to say, who fell for this? And unfortunately, it looks like our good friend Jason, who
did it for science. For science.
So Jason, when you downloaded and installed it, did you even pause to look at the permissions?
Well, I downloaded and installed it on iOS. And what I realized in doing that is that you don't really get a view when you download and install unless somebody can point out something that I'm missing. But there is no way to really see these are all the things you need when you're downloading on the phone.
So that's because iOS and Android use a different paradigm for permissions. So iOS, it asks you when you want access to that thing as a developer, then it pops up to the user at that moment.
Right.
Whereas Android, you basically do it at the beginning as soon as you download.
You see it at the beginning, but you still get per note.
Yeah, they've added that in the last couple of versions of Android too for certain types of permissions, like I think location, for instance.
But did you know that it was reading your IMEI?
Well, from what I understand iOS,
it's not Jason's IMEI. Let's point that out also.
That's a good point. Although Megan did install this on my Pixel, so we did each other in. Sorry, I got to line this up properly.
this is creepy.
Yeah, this is a little weird. I got to not look at it while I talk because that's just okay. Oh.
Yeah, Brian, for our audio listeners, we're looking at Jason's anime face, and it's disturbing. You kind of look like Queen Amidala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I have 8 lipsticks you could use if we really want to go there. I used to practice that lipstick look in the mirror.
From what I understand, iOS just inherently as a platform is more, we know this, a little more locked down than Android. So things like IMEI actually didn't transfer through on iOS. Yeah. It's more on the Android side. But what I want to know is, okay, so if that is possible, and if that's no good, if that's something that you shouldn't be able to do, why does the Google Play Store make it possible for apps that are published through the Play Store to do that? Isn't this something that they should be scanning for? Well, but everybody, I mean, I get it. Like, this is all about, you know, more or less ad tracking, right? China has different rules. And so the app developers have to follow those rules because they're based in China. And so they have to come up with an alternate way to do this tracking because they can't implement Google Play services. Because as we know, in China, there is no Google Play services. Mm-hmm. There is no Google Play Store. They had to do this workaround. So they post the same app in the Play Store for people outside of China, which is what we get. It has their kind of tracking stuff involved, and that's just part of the case. But if it's not okay for IMEI to be transferred, if this is really such a no-no in the ad tracking world, why does Google allow for it? Or why isn't it more obvious when you download the app that that is going to happen?
Because it's open.
Yeah, but...
Honestly, at this point, they should probably not allow that anymore.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Maybe when Android was at its infancy, maybe because you didn't have an ad tracking identifier. But now Google Play Services has a unique identifier that you have a lot of control as a user. You can select do not track with it. You can clear it between usages if you want to stop being tracked with it. So, like, Google has advanced since, you know, the early days where they now have a way to track ads. I don't see for the U.S. market or, you know, markets where they have Google Play Services, I don't really see why you need to have IMEI access anymore. Mm-hmm. It just seems... Maybe there's certain apps maybe that you need it, but I can't think of any.
So you're saying it should be eliminated completely.
I don't think they should allow it. It's a privacy issue.
No,
right?
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, especially with all these. I mean, I didn't know about that rule in China. Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
But somebody whose job is it at Google to keep track of this stuff that's happening around the world and like think of that.
There are a lot of apps. I mean, in the Play Store, think of that too. You know,
a lot of apps coming from China. For the U.S. market.
But I mean, Google has the ability with Bouncer or whatever the heck they call it, to scan apps on the fly, verify apps for certain things when it comes to insecurities and blah, blah, blah. So, they should be able to scan it to see if an IMEI is being sent through, right? And if so, and if that's really, truly something that apps should not be doing and that developers should not have access to, then why doesn't that become part of the process? There must be something that I'm missing. I feel like I'm missing something. Like that's actually way more common than we give it credit for. I'm sure there are other apps that do this. We probably have them installed on our phones, but it didn't come under such to such scrutiny because it's not this mega Chinese app that suddenly everybody's installing without
apps,
paying attention.
I wonder?
That's
that,
a good point. Need like
that because
AT&T,
Verizon, I think of. Yeah. I can't do anything with Verizon without giving them my IMEI. They're like, "Can I have your IMEI?" I'm like, "You don't have it in the computer anyway." So
that's a good point.
We're not renting here.
That's a good point.
So.
All right. Then. Well, so the takeaway of this is don't install Me Too. Just don't
yeah,
do it.
I can give you 8 other apps you can install that are way safer. And yes. I'll probably write an article.
I can understand why you might want to after that beautiful image that I posted on
Twitter. Don't do it, Brian.
Don't do it.
You and I didn't do it.
I was half expecting you to come on and be like, oh, yeah, I totally did it. Because
I've used an app that does that before.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say because it's not a Snapchat filter. That's why she didn't do it.
Oh, but Snapchat, the way Snapchat totally steals other people's ideas for their filters, they're totally ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Anyway, all right. So talk about stealing other people's ideas. We were talking about the HTC. I'm doing good. Great.
Yeah,
with
you
the
got,
segues.
You got the
yeah,
segues
really
today.
Good. Yeah, last week we were talking about the HTC U and how it's got rid of the headphone jack. And so I got a video mail from Matt Coddington from the All About Android community with some thoughts on moving beyond the headphone jack. Take it away, Matt.
And he said the cat insisted on being in at the start. Which
hello there, All About Android. This is Matt from Louisville, Kentucky, and I wanted to offer my 2 cents on Bluetooth headphones and the audio jack. First, about the audio jack. I have not used the audio jack on my Pixel since I've gotten it. And when I had the Nexus 6P, I might have used it a half a dozen times. And that was just to plug it into my stereo system musically. And there's other alternatives that I could be doing rather than that anyway. So I will not miss a headphone jack whatsoever if we go away with them. That said, I've been using Bluetooth headphones for as long as they existed. Most recently, these LGs work very good.
I have a pair like
except
that.
Except when like working out and
hate
other
them.
Things, they'd be dangling off my neck when I'm laying down on the bench, and it would get annoying. So I sought out what I think is a great solution. These are Raukin. They cost about $125 on Amazon, and this is actually a 2400 milliamp battery pack. It has USB and micro USB, so you can actually charge something else off of it. Slide it open. There's a little earbud. Quite discreet. Notice, no Q-tip. And so it does have the basic controls. So press to play, press to pause, otherwise to answer a call, press to answer. If you double tap, then you can activate Google Now or Google Assistant. And whereas there was a lot more controls on this. That said, I control from my Android Wear. Yes, I wear and use this every single day quite extensively. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
But I control the fast forward, rewind, skipping tracks, and my volume from the watch, whereas before I did it on the LG headset. But that said, I'm very, very pleased with these. Small, discreet, last all day because you got this battery that's sitting in your pocket. So then it's multi-use for not just the earbuds, but for anything else you might want to charge on the go. So highly recommend them. Raukin, there already is a solution for some very cool Bluetooth headsets.
Whoa.
So thanks so much. Love the show. Peace.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, so
they really do.
There's a lot to unpack here. First yes. off, bravo, Matt Coddington. I'm a fan of you. Like,
yes.
Like, totally. Like, wearing the Twitch shirt. He's got backdrop. A Pixel. He's got, I mean, and
he's
secondly,
a big fan of the show. He's active on social. I've awesome. Seen him.
Many he's times. Great. Yeah, no, yeah. I just want to give him his moment in time, you know? But how are we not all talking? And this cat, I don't care for as much, but Matt,
oh, cute kitty.
Oh, I hate cats. Anyway, why aren't we talking more about these headphones, this Raukin BitCharge? I'm looking at it on Amazon. It's Bluetooth 4.1.
I've never heard of it.
Got a built-in microphone.
I've never heard of this brand.
IPX5 sweat and waterproof. Like this for $129. This is like, why isn't this taking over the world?
Well, we're helping to get it there.
Yeah. I know Samsung is like the Icon X or whatever earbuds that are supposed to be like this, but
I like this. I like the low profile of them. They just kind of hide into your ear.
So actually, I have a question about that. Is that preferred by people that you can't see that someone has headphones in? Because I've always felt like if I'm in an office environment, I really want to like blatantly say I have headphones on. Don't bother me.
Yeah. Right? I think this being really useful in the gym where you don't need things like hanging. And actually he kind of mentioned that, you know, some headphones are just too big for that. You're moving around too much, ducking around.
Plane.
And those blue, those blue, those Bluetooth ones with the big things that the hang on the neck. I hate. I've always hated those. They look so awful. But but Ish, to your point, so in my office here in New York, there's a guy who has the Apple earbuds, whatever, and he just leaves them in all day, and he's the biggest loser I've ever seen. Like it's like the most obnoxious thing, and you can't tell when he's on the phone, when he's talking, like whatever. It's like just take them out. Okay, just take
wears them
out.
Like earrings.
Yes, just wears them all day, sitting there, and I see him just talking to nobody, but he got the dumb earphones in, and he's talking to somebody, and it's just like, I get it, it's a cool new toy that everybody wants, everybody has, but like, seriously, like, admittedly, working in an office environment, like open floor plan, I'm kind of like in a co-working space, whatever, people tend to get on your nerves, and maybe so that's a little bit
the show,
out
maybe
you.
He'll get the hint now.
No, I don't think so, because he's an iPhone. He's an iPhone. Okay. But yeah, no, I mean, like, the thing is that, like, I think these... For me, at least personally, I would love to have a pair of wireless headphones for when I'm commuting or whatever, where I don't have to like put my headphones in, take them out, all that. Like, and the wire, I get tangled. Sometimes it gets caught. Yeah. Like somebody walks by you on the subway quickly, and the wire goes off, and you know all that sort of stuff. So this is awesome, and I want to give these a try. My only problem is that I hate in-ear buds. Like I want like this, like the earbud type that just kind of goes in the ear.
Are you afraid it's going to go in all the way inside and get stuck in your ear canal?
Yeah, that happened, Flo. Thanks for the memory reminder. I was on a flight from Park City, Utah, and a little rubber bit went all the way in my ear and broke off from the earplug, and I had to sit for an entire 5-hour flight with a piece of rubber stuck in my ear before I could get to the emergency room. So,
sorry.
At least it wasn't a hard piece of plastic stuck in there for five
thankfully.
Hours. Rubber is a little more comfortable. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ron. I'll pay for your therapy.
Things no, okay. Got it was real like, awkward was
like,
in here.
That was like 10 years ago. I'm over it. But these don't look too invasive or penetrating, as Jason would say. So, good job, Matt.
Yeah. I like that the charging system is really well integrated.
Yeah, totally.
That is definitely really cool. So
thanks for pulling us away from Ron's penetrated comment. I appreciate that.
I'm a child.
You are. All right. Well, let's thank our last sponsor of the evening before we get to the arena. And this episode is brought to you by LegalZoom, and we thank them for their support. So the holidays are over, the hangover is gone, and the New Year's dust has settled. So now you can finally get around to doing the things you've been putting off for way too long. And LegalZoom.com is where to make it happen. So whether you want to launch the business of your dreams, or you'd like to take control of your family's future with an estate plan, legal questions should never stand in the way. Well, thanks to LegalZoom, they don't. The legal world can be challenging without a doubt, but that's exactly why LegalZoom was created over 15 years ago. So they've been around for a long time, so they are absolutely trustworthy. And they provide you with the tools and know-how to wrap up your legal needs with confidence. You can even receive legal advice at flat rates from LegalZoom's network of attorneys that are licensed in 48 states. And they'll help you with the right estate plan or answer any questions you have about starting and running your business. All without billing by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, and that's key. And listen, I've got several of my own companies, I've started companies, I've worked with partners and things like that. You want to make sure you get the legal stuff covered. It will help you in the long run, and LegalZoom is a great place to go to get that all sorted. So don't put it off any longer. Hurry to LegalZoom.com now and start getting your life in order today. Plus, you get special savings when you enter promo code AAA at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com and enter promo code AAA. And we thank LegalZoom for their support and keeping us nice and legal and on the right side of the law. So thank you, LegalZoom.
Thank you, LegalZoom. All right. It is time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
We have the greatest fans. We continued... Man, there was one guy, I got to find his name. He hit me up on Twitter and he sent in an email. He spent like...
Lee Ball did it. It was... I felt so bad for Lee.
He spent all this time like going through episode by episode, picking it apart and judging the past year's worth of wins and losses in the arena and applying the new point score to it. And then he listened to last week's episode where some other people had already done that. We really appreciate your effort, though. It's awesome that we have fans that will spend that kind of time to pick things apart. It just shows what great fans you guys are, so we really appreciate that. But let's take a look at last week's poll, bit.ly/AAAvote301. Ron, are you doing the victory dance?
I'm doing a victory dance.
Let's see here. I've already responded. I'm going through. Recurrence wins with 43% of the vote. Second place is Powerline. That was my app, 36.3%. Last place, Lifeline Silent Night with 20.7%.
And so with the new scoring system, thanks to Wade County in the chat room, through 3 weeks, I'm currently in the lead with my lucky number 13 points. And Jason and the guests are tied for second with 7 points. And all the way there in the distance is Flo with 3 points.
Flo's been out a couple of times.
It's a good thing Mercury's going in retrograde soon, Ron.
But the great thing is that Flo, with a win, you could be up there and back in second place.
What are you doing?
Come back, Flo. Come back. All right, so we're going to dive into a few apps and give Flo the chance to be right at the top. But you don't get a chance yet because I am the returning loser.
Brian made me disappear, so I don't exist right now. I don't exist, Brian. Take the camera off me.
You wield too much power there, Brian. He didn't know, as he says. He knows way more than he lets on. Okay, so mine is a pretty quick app, but I think it's definitely useful for people who want to save or hold on to, let's say, QR codes, barcodes, whatever the case may be. If you have rewards cards or whatever, if you have a library card, like I've got a library card right here. It's got a barcode on it.
Support your local library.
What's that?
Support your local library.
I thought you were saying, what is a library? both would probably be true, depending on who you ask. But I've got a library card here, right? And maybe I want to go walletless completely, and I want to save this in some way into my phone. So I can do that with an app that Christopher Infante actually submitted to me to say, hey, you should check this out. I use it all the time. It's called Barcode Generator, so that makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? So how does it work? Well, basically, it has support for a number of different types of codes. We'll go ahead and show you all the different types of codes. You know, your standard QR code, and then just a number of like UPC codes, all of these different types of scannable codes that you've seen all over the place, dot matrix, Aztec code, whatever, all different types. So if you've got a code and you want to hold on to it in your phone so that you can get to it on a whim and then pull it up and then, you know, maybe scan it while you're at the grocery store, whatever the case may be, this is one easy way to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and tap the fab, scan the code, and I just pulled out this case here that has a QR code on it just as an example, but I can hold it up. It captures it, boom, brings the barcode that easy. It has kind of what it breaks down to numerically, but it also has a big representation of the code itself. And now I've got it in my list. I can go in there, and if I want to, I can, you know, give it more of a description so that I know exactly what it is, whatever. I could also do that with my library card or, like I said, rewards card, whatever the case may be. If you've got, or gift cards, let's say, you want to, you know, like save room in your wallet because you've got a ton of gift cards and you want to free up some space. This barcode generator, it's totally free, and it's just a good way to kind of like log all of those barcode-y things that you might need to do. When Christopher sent this in, I guess based on the work that he does, he's using barcodes all the time at his job, and he says this app is indispensable. He uses it every single day to make his job easier, and so he wanted to shed some light on it. So Christopher, I appreciate you sending this in. I'll take one for the team with barcode generator. Hopefully people will check it out and agree with you, because then that means that I win, and I appreciate the win. All right, Florence, you're up next.
Whoa, he used my whole name. That's weird.
You want to know why I do that? I realize I do this every once in a while because when in the doc, it says Florence.
Thing. Oh.
And so I look at that and it tricks my brain. Flo.
I'm not in trouble.
Florence, it's your turn to review an app, Florence.
Oh my gosh.
With 3 points in the arena, she should be in trouble.
Ooh, wagging my finger at you, Florence.
So glad he's on the other side of the country.
Pretty much that's it, Brian. I have Ron Burgundy moments all the time. Go for it, Flo.
Well, you guys, sometimes when I'm at work, my phone, when I'm at work, which is sitting in my house, at my desk, my phone is buzzing with notifications. And I'm like, leave me alone. So I'll just kind of clear them all immediately, just out of habit. You can see how much I did not exercise today. This app is called Notification Log. There's three notifications of my best friend booing Ron. I'm sorry.
Booing?
Love it.
You're just saying boo Ron. Sorry.
Excellent.
I need to hide.
Going right.
Okay, there we go. Sorry.
That's fantastic. That's the greatest thing ever. Love you, best friend. Always best friend.
Okay. All right. So this is called notification history. So what it does is trying to go over here so there's no glare. So what it does is it will just hold on your notification log. That's it. So you can just swipe them away and go back to them later when you're ready. You know, you don't want all this crowding up here in the status bar. So you can just go here when you're ready. So right now it's telling me, you know, our friend of the show, Mark Birchner, he is now baking fresh cookies on YouTube.
And, of course he is. Live. You know, he's doing it live.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. He's running up against us with fresh cookies?
I know. I'll talk to him about it after the show.
Please.
You know, it shows me my many, many New York Times alerts, which there have been many lately. And, you know, it's been kind of a lot. You know, or Google app will send you notifications and you just kind of silence it. But maybe you want to go back to it later. I know I definitely sometimes I'll have Instagram notifications and I'll just kind of clear them and I'll forget it. And when you go into the app, it doesn't really show you. So don't lose anything ever again. Notification log, free app. You can unlock it for $2.99 to get rid of all these ads. And, you know, when you're ready to dismiss them, all you have to do is hit a button and they go away.
Nothing nicer than a clean notification
log. You can also snooze notifications for later just in case there's something really important you want to get back to later. Nice. And also, FYI, this resets every time you restart the phone.
So what do you mean? So when you restart the phone, it takes the notifications that from that point forward and on a clean slate.
Yes.
And starts forward. Got
yes.
it.
Yes.
Got it. Cool.
Notification.
It's so interesting that you brought this because on the other Android show I do, Android App Arena, I'm doing a show that's dedicated to notification apps. And I have a few apps in there that do similar functions as this, but this one's better. And I wish I had known about this because it would have been.
I picked it because the interface is really nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's materially. Mm-hmm. It's not, even though there's ads, they're not super invasive. I mean, sometimes you don't want to pay for something. And I get a lot of darn notifications throughout the day that I just miss out on because y'all love me.
We do.
It's true.
So much.
We do.
It's true. We've missed you.
And I have to keep just snoozing you till later.
Y'all love me, and I don't got time for you.
And there I go, disappearing.
Excellent. All right.
Ryan does that to keep me humble.
It is Notif Log Notification History. Excellent pick. Love it. All right. Ish, I have your app installed. Yes. I went through the setup process before the show, so I will be launching it more or less for the first time. Cool. Go ahead and tell us what you like about this app, and I'll try and keep up.
Yeah, mine's called FitStar. I've been using it for a couple of years now. I used to use these DVDs that my wife has called Jillian Michaels Workouts because I needed to work out, and then I didn't have a DVD player anymore. And
what is
to be
a DVD?
Honest, and to be honest, Jillian Michaels is more tailored towards women than men, so it wasn't really working out for me anyway. So I needed like a video workout that I could go to when I was traveling, where I was at home, that would just be available quickly. And so I checked out FitStar. So what it is you open it up and you pick a trainer, and that becomes your personal trainer, and you can choose one of many workouts. Now, you get some free workouts for free, but if you pay a subscription fee, then you can upgrade to get any kind of workout you want. And it actually designs different workouts based on what you're looking for. If you want a short 10-minute session or you want maybe a 20-minute session, maybe you only have 5-7 minutes, then you do that.
That's really hard, by the way.
And it basically will take you through the entire workout. And what's really cool about it is you can prop up your phone, but if you have a TV, you can actually Chromecast it onto the television. So it's actually like having like a video workout.
Oh, nice.
And it takes you through the steps. You can listen to your own music. You don't have to listen to their music. So if you have your own music library or third-party app that plays music, you can play it over their talking points. They guide you through each workout. You can see exactly how it's supposed to be done so there's no confusion. I don't like the apps where it's like an animated drawing as much because sometimes you just don't really get how you're supposed to do the workout. I like this guided video workout. And it's literally like having a personal trainer at a fraction of the price. And I just love the portability and the flexibility that you can just use it wherever you are in any situation. And it downloads offline, so you don't have to always have an internet connection. So I've actually lost weight with it. I've used it a lot. I've used it around the world, so I can't speak highly enough about it.
Yeah, it's like a personal trainer that goes everywhere with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And doesn't judge you.
Right. One of my friends is on the team that makes all that content for Fitstar, and they're some of the best people making like good video content, and that's cool to see it highlighted here. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot, especially the Chromecast functionality. Zap it onto your TV and there you go. Nice. And I think when it comes to like going to the gym, working out or whatever, one thing that you really need as you're doing it regularly is variability.
Yeah.
Keep things kind of fresh, keep things interesting. So with an app like this, it can kind of create different approaches so that you aren't always doing the same 10 exercises or whatever.
Yeah, I found that it varied it up enough. I didn't get
bored. Better than DVDs of the past.
Yes, better.
I remember the workout Pilates DVDs with only two classes on them. Ugh.
Yes,
that is really cool.
You get really bored after a while.
I like it. I like the design of this app. It's done really well. Nice.
It's a good
excellent
app.
This is called Fitstar Personal Trainer. Free to get in the door and check out some of their exercises, and then kind of a subscription based in-app purchase.
They're actually a great story of an acquisition gone right. I mean, Fitstar was a startup and they got acquired by Fitbit, which is a perfect lineup, and they just let them be. They said, do what you're doing, because it's so tied into what Fitbit does. It's great to see that them surviving, post acquisition.
Yeah, totally.
For sure. Excellent. All right. And Ron, I tried to install your app, but my Android device... my makeshift Android device, while I don't have my Pixel, is not nuggety enough for your app.
That's okay. And I have Ron's app.
I was just going to say, and this is where bitter irony comes to play, as I depend on Flo to demo my app. My dear, dear Flo, who I adore. Okay, so as she fiddles with it, let me give you some backstory. This is mainly for Nougat users, and I know that's a small percentage of you. But did you know that in Android 7.0, there is a native File Explorer available?
Exactly.
But there's no icon to get to it. In fact, the only way to get to it is to dig deep into your settings and find it. Well, with Explorage quick setting tiles, you can add some tiles to add to your notification pane, to your quick settings pane, to add a direct link to both this File Explorer as well as your storage information in settings. So as opposed to having to dig through your settings, all you got to do now is you edit your notification pane, as Flo just demoed for us, hit Explorer, and now you're into the native file manager system, right?
That exists?
Let me fix
that. That exists. It totally exists. If you go into settings, it's deep, deep, deep in the app.
Don't look at the Kardashian folder.
You're complaining about the your free space in your phone earlier, Flo. You could just get rid of that, and that would help.
Yeah,
but you probably do that with this phone.
No! It's left over from my last phone.
But yeah, so basically, like, you wouldn't, assuming that you don't want to use a File Explorer app now that this is native within the Android operating system, this is a way to get to it. If you scroll all the way down to storage, scroll down. Wait. Nope, scroll down on the screen. Yep. Can you move your I'm sorry, it's hard to see, but there. But that's where the link to the Explorer at the very bottom is. It's in the lower third.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's how you get to it.
Are you serious? Why is that buried so deeply? Like, File Explorers, people need File Explorers on their phone.
Exactly. And not only do they need File Explorers, but a native File Explorer, like, that's actually like Google signed, sealed, and approved. And it's barely material design. It doesn't have any bells and whistles. There's a lot of really cool File Explorers out there, but the fact that this is the native one and it's buried, this little quick settings tile lets you unearth it a little easier. So so it's free in the Google Play Store. Explorage quick settings tiles. It's a must-have download if you have Nougat. So check it out.
And now I have it.
There you go, Flo. That's my gift to you.
There's no icon on the screen, by the way. It just shows up in your notifications panel.
Yeah, once you install it, once you install it, you pull down your notification shade, you hit edit, and then the additional tiles are there, and you can easily add them by tapping on them and dragging them into your notification.
And then they're there in
quick
your
settings.
Quick settings.
Yeah, and there's a widget as well, too, if you want to add an icon, which is handy.
Oh, so you can jump right to it from your home screen.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yep. So
excellent.
If you have a Pixel, that is a must download, a must install.
I don't.
Anymore.
Well, anymore.
Until the end of the month.
You'll be back. Hopefully.
Two weeks is a long time, Ron.
I know.
So,
it really is.
All right. bit.ly/AAA vote. Sorry, I got lost there thinking about what it would be like to be on Android again. bit.ly/AAA vote 302. bit.ly/AAA vote 302. Place your vote for your favorite app. Is it Barcode Generator, Notif Log Notification History, Fitstar Personal Trainer, or Explorage Quick Settings Tiles? Lots of great apps for you to pick from. Vote. Let your voice be heard. And we will check in on the results next week and see who is the big winner. That is all we wrote. That's all we got. We filled your evening with Android stuff, and we have nothing more to give except for our goodbyes. And I will start with you, Ish. It really is great to have you on the show. Really appreciate you coming up.
No, thanks so much, guys, for having me. I say that we actually have people that discovered us on Twit 2 years ago that still use our app. So it was awesome. They're some of our best users. So
nice.
I really appreciate the opportunity to come back here.
Excellent. Well, you've got a fantastic app, and you're obviously doing great things. You're being recognized by Google. So keep it up. Where do you want people to kind of follow all the work that you guys do?
Just go to haystack.tv. You can find links to all our apps there. Or just go, if you're on your Android phone or on your Android TV, just search for Haystack TV on the App Store or the Google Play Store. Mm-hmm. App Store if it's on iOS. And give us feedback. Let us know how you like it.
Absolutely. Do that. Check it out in this news-starved world. It's a good way to find all of your news and skip the rest of the stuff. Excellent stuff. Flo, what about you?
Well, you know me. You can always find me on Twitter at OhThatFlo and on Snapchat at OhThatFlo. And
detecting a theme here.
This week, I did the Material podcast before this. So you'll hear me on the episode this week. We talked a lot about what we talked here today. So
excellent.
It was a good primer.
It was like practice.
I got some practice.
Like batting practice.
And of course, you can find all my writings on androidcentral.com.
Yes, and you should. Awesome. Good to have you back. Ron, what about you?
Yeah, as likewise, you can find me on Twitter, not at OhThatFlo, but at RonXO.
Sometimes you can find us talking.
Yeah,
sometimes a little bit, trading back and forth. But yeah, check out my other podcast. Check out iFanboy at iFanboy.com if you dig comic books. And check out Damn Fine Podcast at DamnFinePodcast.com. Me and Tom Merritt are rewatching and reanalyzing Twin Peaks leading up to the new season coming up this May, where we'll be analyzing that when it comes out. Fun times for all. So it's all there on Twitter. So.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. Always a pleasure. And Ron and I did tech news today. So there's
something we did.
Else
that was
you can
fun.
Check
yeah.
out. Yeah. You've got lots of stuff to watch after this show is done. Material, tech
lots.
News today.
Lots
and then
of
go
content.
To Haystack also and catch up on news. And then maybe Know How with Brian.
How did you know I was going to talk about that?
I just guessed.
Is it because there's a priest hiding behind me right now?
Yeah. I don't know what he's fixing to do, but
it's usually a plan to kill me.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
If cool. you want to see the attempted murder of me, you could watch Know How on Thursday or Mondays. That's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, don't worry. He never actually does anything.
No, it hasn't happened yet. So
he
I've
just
been
threatens.
Okay. Actually, this week should be a lot of fun. We're having like a class come in. Megan's sons and their class are coming in to watch. So we'll actually have an audience this time of like 30 people.
You'll have a laugh track and applause.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, we'll need someone with signs to cue the audience.
Little clapping and stuff.
How's that? Hanging out.
But yeah, if you check out Know How and also follow me on Twitter at cranky_hippo. And Ron, still enjoying the Twin Peaks podcast. It's going well. I love listening to you guys, oddly enough. Oh. I hear you enough here at work. I don't know why I would
care. That's funny. It's like in another context, I'm enjoyable.
Right. It's really weird.
Finally. Finally.
I broke through with Brian. I got him. Yes.
Right on. Thank you, Brian. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell, music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Real quick. Twit survey, we're asking you to tell us what you like and, you know, even what you don't like about, let's say, the content, or, you know, basically we want to know more about the things that you're watching, maybe be able to pick advertisers that we think would really appeal to you guys. So go to twit.tv/survey, totally optional. We keep your information totally safe. There's no
identifier. We don't need your IMEI.
Yeah, we're not going to ask for your IMEI. Don't worry about that. We keep it unidentifiable. We just want to know how you're digging the Twit content that we produce. Twit.tv/survey. We really appreciate that. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. We get so much feedback from you guys, and I'm so sorry that we only ever get one or two in the show, but that's just the way it is right now. Email and video mail at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. We're on Reddit at twitaaa.reddit.com. You can find our show notes, full show notes, and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. Past episodes also on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Casts, of course, Haystack TV, and all over the map. And catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone. Woohoo!
Bye.